1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the morning primetime newsmaker.
Our Thursday newsmaker is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. At MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this first full day of fall. A beautiful morning, partly cloudy, 48 degrees, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker this morning by Lyon County Public Health Incident Commander Renee Hively. Renee, good morning.
Hey, Renee.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I am good. A little bit chilly, but I'm enjoying the weather. Kind of missed my husband not being home last night, because usually I say, hey, will you turn that shower on for me before I get out of bed?
There we go.
I had to get myself up and turn the shower on myself.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, Renee, again, we appreciate your time here this morning. Renee is the incident commander for Lyon County Public Health. And unfortunately, Renee, we continue to have incidents for you to command. And pretty significant COVID numbers released yesterday. Your reaction to that?
Well, you know, they are some large numbers. They're a little, you know, there's a story behind some of that. But I was a little bit shocked to see those numbers go back up. But I am really positive that, you know, we're going to get this under control. It may not be today or tomorrow, but we are looking, you know, going to be positive about this. We're going to manage this, and we're going to move forward.
Renee, how do the numbers yesterday, I guess, maybe underscore not only the community spread, but really the strain on your staff and your disease investigation side of things specifically? I want to use this as kind of a way to break down those 89 new cases that were announced.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, when you think about 89 new cases, we only have not even, well, we're allowed to have 6 full-time contact tracers and investigators. We're trying to build that back up. We had some students go off to school or change jobs for higher paying jobs. And so we're trying to get that group back up to 6 FTEs so that we can manage this a little bit better. So in the meantime, we did have to send some of our cases up to KDHE, to their contact tracers at this state. And that's where you see that big jump, where we thought we had 65 new cases and we actually had 89 new cases, because of the cases that we transferred to KDHE got assigned to KDHE and not to Lyon County. So when we pull our numbers from their system, it's only looking at what's assigned to Lyon County. So we are in the process of changing that. We don't very often tap into KDHE for our contact tracing and investigation. We like to keep that here local. We find that it's a much thorough job. We have better rapport with our community members. And sometimes when you throw things up the chain, they get lost and they don't get attended to like we would like them to be attended to. So, you know, so we're sitting at those 89 cases. And since we know we have widespread community, you know, community widespread in Lyon County, that then equates to a lot of close contacts, which then triples the caseload that our contact tracers and investigators have.
Let's break down the demographics. They are glaring, I mean, as far as the numbers. College-age students ages 18 to 23 continue to lead the way. How significant is that, Renee?
It was to be expected with school, you know, coming back together and, you know, back-to-school parties, the gatherings, you know, at different businesses. So I expected that number to go up. I was kind of looking at the metrics before we got online here this morning, and, you know, right after school started, elementary, grade school, high school, those numbers spiked. We expected that once kids got back into a closed area. And again, with those college students, we expected to see that rise as well, as we had many, you know, new faces coming into our community.
Renee, I want to jump back here to the situation here with KDHE and taking on some of those investigative cases that you've got. Do you have more KDHE cases possibly coming back in over the next maybe 1 to 3 reporting periods? Really, could we possibly see another significant spike here because of the two different reporting mechanisms that are currently in place right now? Or did that wind up clearing out pretty much everything that you had coming in from KDHE?
I think it will pretty much clear it out. There might be a little stragglers in there that we haven't caught just yet. I don't think you're going to see a noticeable change over time. It'll just kind of adjust. It was just kind of a big hit all at once when we caught that discrepancy in our data.
One thing you've mentioned already a couple of times about the community spread here, how significant has community spread gotten here over the last month or so, again, with school being involved with that? And do you have any evidence that there has been any significant super spreader activities, given the amount, really the vast number of community and public events that we've seen here over the last 4 to 6 weeks?
You know, to answer that last question, you know, you really, when you have wide spread of the disease, you really can't link cases together. So as investigators and public health officials, we like to be able to link those cases together to see where where it occurred. We can't do that right now because of the widespread of disease, that we can't link it back to any one large event. People have been at a large event here and one there and one somewhere else, or they went out of town. We had a lot of travel during the summertime and right in August, so it's really hard to link those cases when you have community spread.
Well, given the amount, as Chuck alluded to, of big-time community events we've had here in the past couple of months, the numbers have pretty much stayed steady. Do you think these have been relatively safe events, Renee?
You know, I think the people that are holding those large events are trying to use some of the mitigation strategies that public health has been mentioning since the pandemic. Vaccination has actually helped some of those larger events, summertime outside. What worries me is we move into the fall and we move into the winter season and we start to see influenza, because last year we really didn't see a whole lot of influenza in Lyon County or even across the nation. That is partially, or I would say a lot, attributed to the mitigation strategies that were occurring across the nation for COVID containment. We're going to start seeing those influenza cases, and, you know, we've already started seeing the RSV and the young kids as they're coming through, but we're going to start seeing that, and it's going to be really hard to figure out if it's influenza or is it COVID, so we're going to have to be doing some co-testing to be able to identify those cases.
Have we seen any movements upwards in vaccination numbers here locally, Renee?
We're seeing a slight movement in the bar, not as much as I would like to see. You know, we can't force vaccines into people's arms. You know, we have those two sides, one, you know, that are opposed to it, one that want it, and then somewhere in between. So there are actually three different pieces. It'll be interesting to see where, if that final ruling on the vaccination mandate, how that helps us. And then if we can get Pfizer approved for that 5 to 11 year olds to get that population vaccinated as well.
Renee, that was going to be one of my questions here, too, because obviously we've got, you know, two main vaccination headlines nationwide right now, one of which happens to be the booster shots, which are really close to final approval coming up here shortly. And then also here, Pfizer moving very close to seeking emergency use authorization for that that young set under 12 here, maybe in a couple of different batches, but that's coming. How significant are these two specific sets here and these two specific news items as things continue here on the local side of things?
I think those things it's really exciting to see that happen, because then we can make more people eligible for vaccine. Right now, those age groups are not eligible for vaccination or any kind of protection other than what we as the people around them can provide them, those who are vaccinated, those who put a mask on and try to keep them safe. So that's exciting that we're going to be able to target that patient population to be able to vaccinate those to help keep them safe. You know, there is a just a huge life cycle of how a vaccine is approved in the United States compared to other countries. So, you know, first we have to have all those clinical trials and get that real world data to be able to make decisions. And then it has to go through several, like three different committees. So your first committee is that Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. It's a long acronym there. And then after they review the data and they make their recommendation to the FDA then scrutinizes that data again. And then from there, it moves to the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And that's, I believe, they're meeting today on those very issues. And so if they recommend to move forward, then that goes to the CDC. And then the CDC has to make the final determination of whether they're going to reject it, approve it, or modify it, or, you know, whatever they do. But if they approve it, then it will then be available to the public. So I know people, we're getting lots of calls about, hey, when are we going to be able to get our boosters? You know, we can't give those boosters until the CDC director authorizes us to do so. And then it will go through the state of Kansas. KDHE will then push down the guidelines on who we can vaccinate, how we can vaccinate them, what the dosage levels are, all those other details. But until we get that green light, our hands are tied. We can only vaccinate who we've been approved for under this emergency use authorization for vaccine providers. So it's still a little ways out, but it's getting closer.
Now, there are some that are eligible for boosters right now, correct, Renee?
There are. That 65 years and older are eligible to get that third dose. So I think people kind of get confused between booster and third dose. Just depends on how you want to look at it.
So if you are at this time eligible, what do you need to do as far as getting the booster or third dose? I've talked to some people who said there was some paperwork involved with that. Is that the case?
There is. They do have to attest that they have they're eligible for the vaccine. So they kind of get screened to see whether they are eligible candidate or not. And if they pass that little screening test, then they're eligible to get vaccinated. And so we do have multiple places in Lyon County that you can get vaccinated if you want a vaccine. So access to vaccinations are not a problem in Lyon County. We have vaccine, you know, our pharmacies, Hague Pharmacy, Graves, Walgreens, CVS, Newman Regional Health, ourselves, there's access. If you want a vaccine, you can find one.
Well, too concerning, speaking of Newman Regional Health, is the bed count now. What is it, Chuck, up to 8? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, active hospitalizations went, I think, from 4 late last week to 8, so those have doubled. And, you know, we should be getting a new report here from Newman Regional Health either today or tomorrow on that specific topic. And then on top of that, you're looking, too, at Coffee Health Systems with its patient transfers over the last week, going from 1.5 to 11 hours for trying to line up beds. So, obviously, things are still extremely tied at local and area hospitals and really across the state.
Renee, do you have the breakdown demographically of our current numbers here with positive COVIDs?
As far as age limits?
Yeah, our age groups, basically caseloads with specific demographic, 18 to 23, they continue to lead the caseload here as far as the most numbers?
They do. The 18 to 23-year-olds, there was 21 cases. We have one case under the age of 1. Between 1 and 11, we have 14 cases. Between 12 and 17, 13 cases. Between that 24 to 29 years of age, we have 13. And then you start dwindling down as you get past, you know, the 30s, 40s. And when you get into that 50s, we have, you know, about 10 cases. And so we could definitely see that shift. And early on in the pandemic, you know, we saw that 65 and older population being hit pretty hard. And now that demographics has shifted back. I mean, it hasn't shifted back. It's shifted to that younger population and those that aren't eligible to be vaccinated. And then that young group between the 18 and 23-year-olds.
And before we let you go here, Renee, Lyon County Public Health's recommendation on masking, social distancing, where do you stand on that currently?
I do still believe that you need to continue to wear your mask when you're in large crowded areas, places, you know, where it's a little tight, close, you know, keep your distance to 6 foot, get a vaccine. We have to use all the tools in our toolbox to be able to get out of this pandemic. If we don't do that, we're going to be in this situation for a lot longer than we want. I read a statistic the other day that the number of deaths now has exceeded the Spanish flu. So, you know, that's kind of sad that we haven't learned anything from history. As we've moved forward, you would think we'd be able to prevent some of those deaths.
I'm going to ask you too, Renee, are we at the point now where we need to start maybe putting out a call for increasing the mitigation strategies, or really is there the political stomach for it based on what you've been able to see?
You know, I think the politically, I don't think they're going to go for any kind of a mask mandate. We can highly recommend that people put masks on. You know, we've talked until we're kind of blue in the face to use some of these mitigation strategies. But, you know, I feel bad for the hospital staff, the healthcare workers at the hospital. You know, that's a huge increase in stress on their staff. The patients that are coming in that are really, really sick, and then the patients that can't get in because there's no beds, and the transfer times to different hospitals is increasing. So that is worrisome. You know, in the beginning, we really wanted to take that burden off of our hospitals and kind of flatten that curve. We need to flatten that curve and keep that down so that we can get on top of this virus, and we can move out of the pandemic stage and more into where it's endemic in areas, you know, or just even have little outbreaks here and there, as, you know, like we do with influenza season. We kind of expect those sudden increases in influenza cases, and then they go away, you know, kind of that seasonal look. It would be nice if I only had to deal with this seasonally. It's sad that we continue to be in this pandemic state.
Renee, thank you, as always, for all that you and your team have done and are continuing to do. We appreciate that very much. And as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good talking to you guys. I haven't talked to you in a while.
All right. So thanks, Renee. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Lyon County Public Health Incident Commander Renee Hively joining us on our Primetime Newsmaker, Chuck.
All right, and if you'd like to be part of the Newsmaker slot or really our morning show slate of interviews here next week, give us a call at 342-4-